Welcome to the Handlebar Podcast. These episodes are conversations around questions young followers of Jesus are asking. If you'd like to have a question answered on the podcast, you can submit your question on our website. We also want to ask you to consider giving. We're totally donor funded, and if our podcast has encouraged you, we want to ask if you'd consider giving a gift of any amount on our website. You can get more info about who we are, our merch, and how to partner with us at thehandlebarpodcast.com. We love you, and we're so glad you're here. Let's jump in. What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Handlebar Podcast. We have a special thing in store for today. It is me and Rafi in the house, and we have two guests who to us are not guests, but to the podcast are guests. So we can jump in. I'll introduce Peter if you want to introduce Aaron.
Sure.
So we got Peter Lewis and Aaron Tedeschi. Am I pronouncing your last name right?
Yeah, that was great.
Okay. Tedeschi. And Peter Lewis. I'll introduce Peter because when I first got hired at the Upper Room, Peter and I shared a desk together. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And Peter didn't like it very much, as you can tell.
It was fine.
It was fine for him. It was a privilege for me. So now it's a privilege to have Peter on the podcast. I love Peter. When I think of you, Peter, something I wanted to say, which you know this, but if you know Peter, you know he preaches the gospel and heralds the gospel, as we all should, but the way you do is just so amazing. And the first time I ever heard Peter share the gospel, I stood up in class. I was a student. And I said, I feel like you're putting a bulldozer to my foundation. Oh, I was so triggered. And now I feel like I have such a value for the gospel because of my relationship with you. So I love you. Glad you're here.
Love you.
And then we got Aaron.
Aaron Tedeschi, the Italian stallion.
Aaron,
apart from being one of my best friends and amazing brothers, is a wild man in love with Jesus with a voice like butter. And I love getting to know you more and more and watching you continue to grow and blossom is incredible. Wow, I really love you.
I love you too.
Say love. Yeah.
I feel the
Aaron,
same.
Aaron is incredible.
I've always said of Aaron, I feel like you got whacked by glory and you were never the same.
Yeah, it's true. Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's a good way to describe you.
I have said about you, I feel like when I first met Aaron, or when many people first meet Aaron, they think, what's wrong with that guy, in a sense? But I have this feeling inside of me, like, whatever's wrong with you, I want to be wrong with me.
Yes.
As well.
It's actually right.
Thank you.
It's something right.
It's peculiar.
What's right with that guy?
It's actually
what's right.
Right
with that guy? He is seeing something that I want to see.
You provoke, your life provokes a response.
Wow. Thank you, bro.
We've done this with guests before on the podcast. If we gave you 30 seconds to introduce yourself, what would you say before we jump in?
Is it weird that I immediately thought of like Maximus and Gladiator? I was like, wish I had something like
That's
that
so
to
much
rattle
than
off.
What I first thought of.
You know, I'm Maximus Aurelius. I am the son of a murderer. introduce myself. I am a Dallas born and raised man of God.
Let's go.
Married a beautiful bride, Christy Lewis. I have 5 children, and God has anointed me to run with the gospel.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's so good. Wow.
Aaron?
The first thing I thought of was avid bowler, and that's not even real.
What?
I don't know why I thought it.
You have a what?
An avid bowler.
Yeah. Oh, Aaron, avid bowler. I'm not an avid.
Like, but that's what popped into my head. Strike after strike.
Maybe it's prophetic. I don't know.
Let's go.
My name is Aaron Lewis Tedeschi, born and raised in Nashville, Tennessee. The Lord led me to Dallas in 2021, and I loved Jesus for like 18 years of my life, and then I got born again in 2019, I'd say. I met glory. I got whacked by glory, and I was never the same, and I keep eating and drinking that same meal that I encountered in my room in my apartment in 2019, and here I am today.
Here you are today.
Here
on the
I
podcast.
Am today. Strike.
Let's go. Well, strike. It's an honor to have you guys. We're going to jump in. We're going to draw questions. We'll do a drum roll. Aaron, if you want to draw the question.
Cool.
And read it into the mic.
All right.
Drum roll. Should we teach Peter the drum roll?
Yep. Okay,
let me drum roll too. All right. Here we go.
Oh, is that one right there? That's the one. How do I become a friend that sticks closer than a brother? Iron sharpens iron. This was submitted by Anonymous, 25 years old, from the U.S. of A.
Okay.
Someone's phone
is your phone ringing?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Like, I don't know how that phone. Even happened. I keep that thing on D&D.
All right. You're Anonymous, who is 25, from the United States. Read the question again.
How do I become a friend that sticks closer than a brother? Iron sharpens iron.
Mm. All right, let's go. I'm going to start a 15-minute timer, and then we'll jump in. Mm. Boom. Iron sharpens iron. A friend that sticks closer than a brother. Anybody want to start us off? Peter, I feel like you're cooking over there. See it in your eyes.
I mean, pressure cooker.
I'm always ready. I think it's a two-part question because iron sharpens iron. I think in order for iron to sharpen iron, both have to be iron. Mm. Like you have to be strong and capable of, like, that analogy is very, it speaks of conflict. It speaks of clashing. And so I think one of the issues today is I don't think really brothers or friends, sisters even, are like, we think if there's a clash, something's wrong. And true. I think one of the things is just maybe to consider is that if there's conflict, maybe we're growing. Maybe there's an invitation into being sharpened here. But if you're a noodle, if you're a wet noodle,
you're getting chopped up.
Yeah, you're never, there's no conflict. There's no rub. There's just, I'm going to go to a different circle.
Wow.
You know, if you're always going from relationship to relationship, I think that's maybe.
Wow. If you're a wet noodle.
Yeah.
In the first part of that verse, it says.
What is that verse? What is it? Read the
Proverbs,
text.
Good idea. Proverbs 18:24. It says, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin. So I think that's even what you're saying. Like, if you keep going from circle to circle, that's like being an unreliable friend. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother.
Yeah. And then the other part of it would be Proverbs 27:17, which says, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Mm.
That's beautiful.
I love what you're saying, Peter, because it's true that conflict produces intimacy. You know, I'm just thinking what you're saying. I love this question because when I saw this question, I instantly thought of Rafi and I's friendship, and something that is unique about our friendship that I feel like not a lot of people have is if I'm having a hard day, which I learned this from you actually, but if I'm having a hard day, Rafi is someone who I will call and I'll tell him I'm having a hard day, but then I'll say this phrase to him, which I learned from you, is will you preach the gospel to me? Mm-hmm. Will you remind me of the gospel? And I feel like I have a lot of friends that I can tell I'm having a hard day and they'll sympathize or they'll be like, you know, life is hard. I don't know. You can give you all these different things, but having a friend in you that you're gonna remind me of the gospel, and then it's like it never fails that by the end of that conversation, I'm like, like I feel like Maximus in that moment because you just reminded me of where I'm seated with Christ, who I am in Christ, who Christ is. It just puts my eyes on something different, and I think of that being something that is priceless and the value I have for our friendship. Mm. And I think of ironing, sharpening iron in this one. But
I feel that, I mean, I would say what you just described, I learned from Peter, where I remember sitting in class one day and he says, exhort one another daily, lest any of you fall away. Yeah. And that it hit me that what's at stake of us not having a place of exhorting one another, like in our faith and in the gospel, is that we would fall away just maybe simply just from forgetting the truth. But what I also thought was interesting about what you said is it sounds like you were you were describing, they have to be iron. So you have to be like solid in something. You have to have, because in order for there to be conflict, I can't just move with your opinion. So there's something to like knowing the word in what you're saying, like you yourself eating of the word and letting some of those things develop in you. So you have something to say that isn't just, oh yeah, bro, I totally get that. But then I also heard in what you were saying, kind of like you got to stay long enough for that to happen also. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because you could have all this built up, but still feel like, man, I don't know if that's worth it. Yeah. But you have to sort of stay with someone long enough to build some sort of relational equity. Because I think had we just met and you say, I'm having a bad day, and I just start preaching at you, you'd probably be like, who is this guy? Like, I don't know that. But we built trust just from staying with each other, from being around each other. And there was enough trust there to where when you're telling me something, maybe without you even asking, I'll say, hey, Aaron, I don't know about that. Like, have you thought about this? Or and then that rub can start through the trust that we've built. But the trust I think we have is to the point where you're asking me, like, where am I off today? Like, just give me the truth, because I know that I'm off today, and I'm not afraid in this relationship. I'm willing to be open. Wow. So in what you were saying, I sort of heard a bit of, like, know the word, know what you believe is important, but then also being willing to stay with someone through good and bad things. And that also made me think of this verse in, I think it's in Proverbs 18, or 17, verse 17, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. I think the iron sharpening iron does have to do with like some hardship, some disagreement maybe. Mm-hmm. Also, like, I'm even thinking from what you're saying that unity doesn't always necessarily mean you are agreeing with each other in a moment. I don't know. I feel like I heard something along those lines, but what would you say?
Yeah, I think that's big. I think unity isn't always agreement. You know, I think when I'm thinking of iron sharpening iron, I also think of someone, if you see something, say something. Like, if you love somebody, like, don't wait for an open door. Like, go get in there. I feel like there's this cry of, like, people want to be leaned into. You know, like, if I see you, like, one of my brothers, in a way, like, having a pity party or, like, struggling with something, and I'm like, I'm going to lean in. And I may be patient and gentle at first and go, hey, what are you feeling? What are you thinking? Mm-hmm. Tell me. But, like, at some point, I may be like, hey, you know, like what you were saying, like, I may begin to exhort strongly into that person of, like, hey, you know what's right here. And like, lean into that gap. I think a lot of times we see gaps and we don't really know what to do. Like, we're like, I'm just going to wait for an open door. Maybe wait till they ask me.
Yeah.
And I think we could save so much time and heartache by just in love, like true love for one another, like brotherly love, leaning into those gaps and go, hey, man, when you know, I feel so loved when someone does that with me. And they're like, hey, when you know when you said that, like, hey, I didn't hear that right. Like, it didn't sit right with me. You know, like when you get called on something that you say, you're loose with your tongue. Like, that's a wonderful example to me of like someone coming with a rebuke going, hey, man, that was dishonoring. Or, you know, it can feel scary to say that because you're like, oh, man, are they going to think I'm judging them? Are they going to think? And I didn't feel that way. I felt loved. I felt covered. I felt seen.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah. That, what you're saying made me think of Ephesians 4.
Yo, your pages are falling out of your 15. Bible.
Bro, and this is a new Bible.
You know what they say about a Bible that's fallen apart?
No.
That its owner isn't.
Hey.
But that's a new Bible,
but that's a new Bible, so.
Yeah, I just got this one. I was like.
We should do a Bible review, like, on this podcast on the, later.
Of, you like, which Bibles to buy. Bible. Yeah. You should buy this $18.
I love that Bible.
Is it Zondervan?
Zondervan.
Yeah. This thing is just together after like seven years.
It's still hanging in there.
Yeah. I used to have that Bible.
Oh, yeah. I remember you saying that to me. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, go ahead, Aaron. Ephesians 4.
I think this is Zondervan too. But it says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head. That is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And I think just what you were saying, like, the key is speaking the truth in love.
Yeah.
And that's where we sharpen mm-hmm. one another, that you're not just out to get your brother. Or like,
yeah.
you're not looking for the speck in your brother's eye. You're just, you're walking in love. You're speaking the truth in love and knowing that they have that place in your life too, so that we may grow, that our goal is to grow
yeah.
into maturity, mm-hmm. into the head that is Christ.
What I'm hearing as I'm listening to you guys talk is like, this is the value or importance of accountability.
Mm.
Like, I feel like for me, growing up, I would hear that term, have accountability or an accountability partner. And I kind of got turned off to it because it was like, what I would hear is, make sure you have someone that you can confess porn to.
Wow.
And so then it's like accountability was just like this associated with this sin or shame or like, but when I hear you talk, I feel like I'm hearing, wow, this is what accountability was always supposed to be. Brotherly love, brotherly, like, hey, let me remind you of the gospel. That's what I'm thinking of. Let me yeah. remind you of who Christ is and who you are in Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I think of when I hear both of you talking about saying things in love, is it's like that reminder, like, hey, I love you. And I'm seeing something, what you're saying, if you see something, say something, but I'm seeing something that doesn't line up, I'm going to say something, but sometimes that can be hard to receive. But when it's in love, knowing it's going to point me to see him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then I'm
grow.
Also, yeah, to grow. And I'm thinking of in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9, this was a verse that Rafi, you and I read yesterday that I had never seen before. But in verse 9 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, Paul writes, and he says, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And I think I'm thinking of this in the context of like, what was it that the church in Thessalonica was doing so right that Paul would write and say, hey, concerning brotherly love, you don't need me to write to you. You're hitting a home run. You're hitting it out of the park. You're loving each other well. There's a mark of your community. It's that you're loving one another well. And when I read that, it made me think, man, I want to be a friend like these people were being to love one another well. So
I think a key there, and this is something worth saying, I think, to our generation, when we have now Instagram with friends and followers, and we can equate friendship with like volumes of people, not realizing that we only really in our souls have capacity to be, you say, because the question is, how do I be a friend that sticks closer than a brother? You can't be that with 1,000 people. You can't be that with 100 people. You can't be that probably with 10 people. You can probably only be a friend that sticks closer than a brother with maybe 2-3 people.
Yeah.
So I think
that kind of feels like a weightlifting.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, I don't have to be a friend that sticks closer than a brother with every single
people.
Person yeah. I know.
Everyone in my community.
Yeah, because that there's a level of commitment. I think to be a true friend, you have to be available.
Mm.
You have to be. Jesus is the best friend any of us have ever had.
Yeah. I like how it says there's a friend. In the scripture, it says there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother.
Right.
Not their friends.
Yeah.
I think that's important. There's a friend that sticks closer than a brother.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Jesus had 12 friends that he said, no longer do I call you servants, I call you friends. Mm. And if the Son of God, if his capacity was 12.
Yeah. And in that 12, he had his three
right.
inner circle.
Right.
And then he has the one that lays his head on his chest. Wow.
I feel rebuked a little in a good way, like in a way that you're saying, like, it's almost like a relief that I don't have to be a good follower of Christ. I don't have to maintain all these relationships and keep them. Like, it's okay to have some that are more shallow and a few that are deeply intimate friendships, which is honestly beautiful. It's like what you were saying. You can take a deep breath.
Mm-hmm.
How would you guys say you would identify that or where you step into that? Like if you're someone who maybe you're more extrovert in nature and you feel like you do have so many friends, and then, you know, I think on one hand you could say that this is like, wow, pressure's off. But on another hand, I feel like you could hear that and you could go,
you got to get rid of a bunch of your friendships.
Yeah. Yeah. You feel the weight of like,
how, I'm saying that.
Yeah. You almost are like, oh my gosh, I feel like, you know, you just are talking about feeling rebuked.
Peter might.
Come on, Peter. Go off, Peter.
Peter's like, I am saying that.
I do think a lot of people are stressed because they're trying to meet other people's expectations of them, and there's not a mutual call to friendship.
Come on.
Like, true friendship is mutual. David and Jonathan, there was a mutual covenant that was cut, a mutual love. Yeah. So I think if someone's feeling confused in their relationships, they should pray and say, God, who are you calling to me and who have you called me to? Wow. And I will say not every friendship, like there's certain friendships where it feels like I'm giving more. And then there's other friendships where it feels like they're giving more to me. And I think that's okay. But certain friendships that are really close, there's this mutual giving and you're both called to give to one another.
Hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that was aggressive.
That scared me.
That aggressive timer.
Honestly, what you just said was amazing.
No, it's so true. Yeah, it's funny because he's literally been rebuking me in that.
Yeah.
Like the past 2 weeks or so. So I'm still learning this.
Yeah.
Which is funny that, yeah.
Do you feel, Peter, do you feel like you've learned that with age?
No, I've learned it with experience, which I guess is maybe age, but. I think you can discern once you taste of grace in friendship, meaning it's easy. There's like an understanding, like people understand what season of life you're in. They give you grace. You can discern grace on friendship. There's no feelings aren't getting hurt every other second. You're not having to explain yourself.
Praise God, I'm not in that season.
You feel like you can be with them and you're just, at any point, you can relax. Like your best friends, you can be with them. They don't drain you, right?
Yes.
And so, again, certain friendships, I think God calls us to just we're called to give to them. Like, don't be selfish in friendships. Sometimes it's just a one way giving because your presence is needed there. And so, it's not to just say, "Well, I'm only going to be friends with people that are giving to me." But I don't know.
Mm. And I'm just thinking that could even fluctuate with seasons.
Absolutely.
Where I'm thinking of one of my friends who got married and had a kid very fast. I was definitely giving a lot more in that time. And then as he, like, it's just gone back and forth. Mm. Yeah.
And I think that's okay. Mm. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I can for sure relate because I'm in that season where we have two under three, one on the way, like I'm following Peter in his steps there, but
well done.
Rafi's like, yeah,
it requires people for me to be deep with friends. It's required friends to give more to Sarah Beth and I in our season, meaning like we need you to come to our house. Mm-hmm. If we're gonna hang out at night, we'd love to, but we need you to come to our house. Or we can have that phone call, but it's gotta be after my kids go to bed. So it's gotta be later. Or we're such a unique season to where I feel like I've definitely seen where friendships have been lost from that, but also you see the depth of where other friendships have gone from that.
Yeah.
For those that are willing to say like, hey, we have history, we love you, we see the season you're in, we don't have kids or we are single, we can give a little more to preserve our friendship and go deeper. And then other friends, it's like we're no longer walking together. I'd say we're still friends, we're just not walking together, we're not doing deep intimate life and they didn't have that to give and it was okay, but it was, I just think with our season so much had changed. Mm-hmm. And
I do think adversity or a change like that will reveal to you how deep a friendship is. Wow. And that's what I feel like you're describing. It's like this one, maybe I thought it was deeper than it was, but then when like push came to shove and I didn't have anything left to give, it was just revealed that was more of a shallow relationship. And then the deeply intimate ones stayed. They, you know, I'm just thinking of the question, how to become a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Part of it is choosing to stay when you're not getting as much from the other person, I think.
It sounds like what we're talking about is deep friendships. And so I guess a question I want to throw on the table before we move to the practical side here is, do you think to be that iron that sharpens iron, that is reserved for a deep friendship? Or do you think you can have that role of iron sharpening iron with one of the more shallow friendships? Mm. What would you guys say to that?
I don't think you have to have a deep friendship to sharpen somebody. Mm-hmm. Like, I think of Peter and Paul. I don't know that they were friends necessarily, but like, Paul rebuked the mess out of Peter publicly.
In front of everybody.
And I think he sharpened him. Like, we take that as like, wow, what a blow. Like, you rebuked him publicly, but that was love. Mm-hmm. And I think Peter was sharpened by that. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think you have to have, I think we have a responsibility to sharpen each other as Christians. And so we're representing the King. So if we see something, we get to do that. And again, it's not judgmental. It's not, because if our heart is love, if our motive is love, then it can be taken. And maybe Peter was like offended at first, but I think later it was probably like oil on his head.
He was like, I really benefited from that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thought about that moment maybe like for years to come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe he's grieved that it's written down in the Bible forever.
Yes. It's canon. It's canon.
Wow, really, Lord?
Really? Come on, Paul.
It's just out there for everybody to see. All right, we can jump into handlebars here. What would be a practical, maybe Aaron, you could start us off, but what would be a practical that you would say someone could practice? Maybe specifically, you know, we're all guys around the table. Specifically when you talk about like brotherhood, brotherly mm-hmm. love, or, you know, this could be applicable for women too, but I'm thinking specifically of men leading into deep relationship with men. It feels like oftentimes it's harder for men to do than women.
Yeah.
And since we are all men at the table, that's why I'm asking specifically, how have you seen this, or what is a practical you've implemented, you've seen, you could break off from your life to give us?
Yeah, I think Rafi started to touch on it. I think it's choosing. There's something about like choosing to enter into that kind of a relationship with a brother. And practically what it's looked like for me and Peter has been like being open with where I am and being, I am so open. I love being open, but sometimes it's hard for me to be vulnerable. So sometimes it takes a question from my brother, but I've been practicing just being more vulnerable and really like engaging what's happening in my heart and then bringing that to Peter or a brother, and allowing them the space to speak into it, knowing that it might cut me, knowing that it might not feel good in the moment, or it might make me uncomfortable to bear this part of my heart with my brother, but knowing that it's actually going to be for my better. Mm-hmm. It's going to help me grow. It's going to make me look more like Jesus, but it's a choice. I get to choose to not hide.
Yeah.
From my friend, from my brother. And I think that's a big part of it for me practically, is just to not hide. To not hide where I actually am, what I'm actually experiencing, what I'm actually walking through, whether it's a thought, life, or I don't know, even if it's like financial, like, hey, I need help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just actually help,
especially
like,
for a guy, I think that can be a naturally really hard one.
Yeah. To talk and just being about. Open.
It confronts
and,
your pride for sure.
Yes. And allowing that part of my heart to be sharpened mm-hmm. as a son of God.
Wow.
I think a large part of it is just choosing a brother. And Peter said it earlier, like there's a mutual choosing, because you might choose to be that with someone, but if there's not that mutual choosing back, then you can't really have that dance of sharpening one another. I do think it's a dance. I think there's something so beautiful about like, no, we're in this together. And so I'm going to receive what you're saying. And I know that you're going to receive what I'm saying also.
Yeah. What I'm hearing is, we've said it this way before, but put your worst foot forward.
Wow.
Where we love to put our best foot forward.
Your stinky foot.
But put your stinky foot forward.
Put your
stinky
honest foot.
Your honest
foot.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Don't hide.
Yeah, don't hide.
Don't hide.
No fig leaves.
Wow. Peter, what would you say?
You know how people say, if you show me where you spend your money, I'll show you where your heart is.
Yes.
Mm. I would say, show me where you spend your time, who you spend your time with, and I'll show you who your friends are. Wow. So when it comes to friendship and brothers, the most practical thing I think I would give is that your time is like money. So if you're wanting to build this with somebody, put regular time. Our culture, at least specifically where we are in Dallas, people love scheduling things. And so some cultures are a lot more organic and you just bump into people, you see them more often. Mm. But for us, I think you have to prioritize relationships. And what that looks like for me is I put a time on the calendar and I love to eat. Men love to eat. And so like find a diner you like, find a restaurant you like and get two brothers and say, hey, we're going to meet every week at this time. Wow. And well, what are we going to do? We're going to spend our time together.
Yes.
That's what we're going to do.
And eat.
And we're going to eat and we're going to, and sometimes we open the word, sometimes we pray, sometimes we share hearts. It's not like, okay, we're going to now begin a discipleship program. And it's like, we're going to be friends. Mm. And in order to have friends, you have to spend time. Yes. And so there's a lot of people I love and honor and respect, but my friends are those people who I spend time with. And that is the most practical thing you can do. If you want to build a friendship with someone, you've got to spend time.
Yes.
It's good. That's very good. I'm very affected by everything you're saying. I feel like I'm just grateful you're on the podcast and I get to drink from your well. In the spirit of that, Peter, you said something during the podcast that I will say is a handlebar I'm taking from this, which is if you see something, say something.
Yeah.
And almost like what I'm hearing is don't ignore that invitation. You don't have that inclination from the spirit to say, hey, that actually sounded off from what I know from, let's say it's Aaron, from what I know about him, from what I know about what he said yes to in his life, that didn't sound right. That's not for me to then go inward and make judgments about him. That's actually to maybe build him up.
And to cover him.
Yeah, ooh. To cover him.
Amen. So I mean that's one that I'd be taking away is to actually lean into that place, because maybe the depth of friendship you're looking for is in stepping into more of that, being honest with each other and covering and rebuking and saying what you see and sharing those parts of your hearts with each other.
Yeah.
It's really good.
What did you mean by covering?
Yeah.
Can you just share on that?
Unpack it.
Yeah.
I think we have such a wrong view of like correction and rebuke. Like true correction and rebuke to the wise is like oil covering your head. It's like if you got something in your teeth and I don't say anything.
That's messed up.
That's messed up. And we would laugh about that. Like if we were all here and I had some giant thing in my tooth and y'all said nothing. At the end of this, I would feel uncovered by you guys.
Yes.
Like, why would you not say anything? Like, you saw this thing in my tooth. Why is it different if we're Christians and you see something so carnal that's on the outside and no one around me says anything?
Yeah.
I don't feel loved. Mm. And like, I may at first be like embarrassed that you like, you know, there's a way to do it, right? Like, I may go, hey, like, let me pull you aside and go, bro,
you got some
Oreos.
Like, hey, you got something in your teeth. Or like, hey, when you said that, like, bro, this could have been interpreted that way. Like, I'm just, I'm telling you to cover you. And so then it's like, oh, I'm not going to do that again. So to me, that's what covering is. Like, hey, don't do that again, because you just exposed yourself. Maybe they do it most of the time they're unintentionally doing it. They're exposing themselves not intentionally. So
yeah, that is so good. I think that is something that is so needed in friendships.
What would your handlebar be?
My handlebar would be, I was thinking while we were talking, while you guys were talking, my handlebar would be to talk about the Lord and talk with the Lord in your friendships. Mm. And what I mean by that is I have friends who, especially when I first got saved, they were good friends of mine, but maybe I knew that they didn't believe the same thing I believed. And so when I was with that friend, I wouldn't talk about the Lord. And it was like, we're friends because of different things. And now, as I have been walking with the Lord longer, I wish I could go back in those times and talk about the Lord with those friends. And so I would say, talk about the Lord with your friends. And if you hear this and you're like, man, I have really good friends, and I know they're saved and I'm saved, but we don't oftentimes talk about the Lord, I think a good starting place would be talk about the Lord and talk to the Lord. Maybe what I mean by that is pray for each other, pray with each other. Watch what inviting the Lord into your friendship will do. And so I think that would be my handlebar for friendships. If you're wanting to grow in brotherly love, is do it with the Lord. Mm. Invite the Lord in. And it never fails when you have a friendship that you've never crossed that line into the things of God with. Sometimes it's awkward at first. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when that friend goes, how can I pray for you? And you're like, I've never told you something that you could pray for me about. Well, now you're practicing your handlebar, Aaron, where you're putting your worst foot forward. You're like, actually, this is where I need breakthrough. This is where I'm having a hard time. This is where I need prayer. And you break through that threshold of a first time, you know, inviting the Lord into that friendship. And all of a sudden, you begin to do it again and again, and then it becomes normal. And then your friendship is founded on Christ, not golf, that's right, basketball, sport, that cool thing that's awesome that it's you both have that as a hobby. But the centerpiece, the glue, mm-hmm, is Christ. And so my handlebar would be talk about the Lord and talk to the Lord in your friendships.
So good.
So
good.
See what happens. So
we
that's
gotta
it.
Stop talking Pokemon all the time. Dang. Together.
Catch them all. You gotta do you remember
it's
that?
It's good to have you guys here. And it's good to have a father. Mm. I'm just grateful for that, this conversation.
Yeah, same.
Except for I learned today that Peter didn't enjoy sharing the desk with me, but
but now you share a table.
But now we share a table. That's right. We're here on the podcast together. So, hey, we're going to pray for you as we let you go. If you are listening to this and you're thinking, man, I want to have deeper friendships, specifically deeper friendships with the Lord, I'm going to pray for you. And so, Lord, I just declare that those that are listening, Lord, I pray that you would lead them deeper in friendships, deeper in brotherly love, deeper in the reality of what it looks like for iron to sharpen iron. And I specifically, Lord, thank you for what Peter said about being a covering for one another. And I just pray for the spirit of boldness to come upon us, Lord, and in love that we would be able to step into covering one another. Mm-hmm. And that we'd begin practicing that and just seeing the reality of deep friendships being formed by practicing your word. And so we love you, Lord, and I bless every listener. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of the podcast. I want to say before we go that this season is sponsored by AudioLink. And so if you want to know more about AudioLink, the description is in the bio. Is it the bio?
Description.
Oh, the link is in the description of the episode. Yes. Yeah, there it is. Bio is Instagram.
Yeah.
Well, you can check it out. Click the link and learn more. They are amazing and they sponsor us. So we love them. So thanks for listening.
Boom.
That's it.